Joe Artinger.
You a photographer?
No, I'm a combat correspondent.
Oh, you seen much combat?
Well, I've seen a little on TV.
You're a real comedian.
Well, they call me the Joker.
Well, I got a joke for you. I'm going to tear you a new ass.
Well, Pilgrim, only after you eat the peanuts out of my sh**.
One of my favorite scenes of many from Full Metal Jacket. I almost said Full Moon Jacket. Full Metal Jacket. That's Matthew Modine. Joe Radio! And I brought that in for a reason. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what. It's Matthew Modine's birthday. So, you know, a little topicality there for you. Welcome back to Joe Radio. I'm your host, legendary Joe Artinger, with you, President of the United States of Joe America. My fellow Joe Americans, 800-636-1067, if you'd like to talk about, well, the Easter Bunny, among other things. And I'll tell you what, it's Easter, and we all know what that means. Hey, did you hear about this? Starbucks finally going broke. Yes. Yes. Funny I should laugh like Dr. Evil. Starbucks was featured prominently in that movie, wasn't it? Yes, yeah, Starbucks is losing money. That's weird. No one wants to buy a $5 latte anymore. Huh. Go figure. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. It doesn't surprise me that Starbucks is falling. Does it surprise you, Starbucks? Pretentious, overpriced coffee bistro? For pretentious, overindulgent coffee drinkers? I think Starbucks may finally be on the way out. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But there's not much that Starbucks can do to reverse that downturn in their business. And I'll give you my thoughts on that. You can call in and you can agree or disagree. 800-636-1067. Starbucks, the king of the gourmet grinds, as I like to say. Their CEO, Howard Schultz, this week admitted that there was no quick fix to the company's drop in stock. 40% in the last year. That's pretty heavy. You know, and a lot of companies are going through these times, these economic changes. I'd like to suggest that what Mr. Schultz is telling us is he's missing his point. He's missing his mark. And I'll tell you why I think that Mr. Schultz is missing his mark, because he's a CEO. He's driven by, you know, dividends and stock shares. Bottom line. You hear it all the time. Bottom line. So Schultz, Mr. Schultz can, you know, he can afford a $5 cup of coffee. Why should he have anything less? It's probably pretty alien to him that people are now trading in his coffee for, you know, that good old fashioned Joe that you get at the gas station that's been on there for about 3 days, just stale and thick as syrup. But you know what he thinks? He thinks there's something wrong with his product. Now, how could there be something wrong with Starbucks' product? It's really one of the best cup of coffees on the market, isn't it? You know, I mean, they were successful for a long time for a reason. But, and it's not, it's probably, it could be employee morale, because, you know, Starbucks, their employees, they're a little aloof. But what Mr. Schultz doesn't realize is that we, the people, we don't have any more disposable income to put towards overpriced mediocre latte. And by the way, since when does it take eight disinterested and aloof baristas to pull a grande for me? And who decided when I buy a cup of coffee that I order it here and pick it up over there with five other cups of coffee? You know, I don't know which one is mine. I don't know what a grande is. Let's go to the phones. JC.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny talk.
Yeah, what's up, man? How's it going?
Fine. What can I do for you?
Well, you know, good old Easter Bunny's coming to town, you know, and he definitely is not bringing any Starbucks to my house because that stuff is horrible coffee. You know, I'll go to 7-Eleven, get me a cup of coffee for $1, and, you know, save myself $4. Hello.
Are you surprised that Starbucks has seen that big of a drop in their, you know, in their company?
Well, like I said, their coffee is horrible.
Okay.
It tastes like it's burnt. You know, you go in there and they, you know, what the crap are they talking about in the first place?
It's latte grande or latte petite?
Yeah, just give me a regular cup of coffee and I'll be happy.
Right.
You know, I don't need the flu garbage. You know, the CEO is in his ivory tower. You know, all these CEOs making millions of dollars.
That's right.
You know, and Joe employee gets shafted, and they make more money because they shaft Joe employee.
Do you know what? Let me stop you for a second. Do you know what I read today? That they were stealing the Joe employee's tips. They were kicking the tips up to the managers, and they're not supposed to do that.
You know, there you go. You know, they keep the man down. You know, the employees, you know, who cares about the employees? That's how they make their living.
I got
you. You know, if the CEOs fire four or five of them, you know, and, you know, they get $1 million bonus. So they, oh, yeah, we're saving the company all this money, so guess what? I get a bigger bonus.
Terrible.
You know, why does the CEO of ExxonMobil need to make a billion-dollar bonus a year when we're all paying them with $4 a gallon of gas? You know,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, when we finally win the Iraq war, we'll have cheaper gas. It'll pay for itself. Right?
Well, I'm glad to see you finally got your own show because I listen to you on Don and Mike all the time.
Right.
And I get a kick out of the way you treat people, and it's great because donkeys deserve what they get. You know, when you're a donkey, you deserve to be a donkey.
Well,
you get, when you grab the bull by the horns, you get the horns, you know?
All right, JC, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, man, I'm glad. I hope your show catches on, and I look forward to hearing you again. Take care, man.
Thanks a lot. Brian.
Yo.
How are you tonight?
I am in complete agreement with you, my friend.
About Starbucks?
First of all, I love the show, and I'm really happy for you.
Thanks.
Don't let Don and Mike pick on you.
No, don't worry.
You know, let's just remember that this is water, coffee bean, sugar, and milk.
Right.
I think we're sleeping on Dunkin' Donuts. I'd like to get Dunkin' Donuts back the respect it deserves.
Well, you know, didn't Dunkin' Donuts win like a taste test last year as the best coffee?
Absolutely.
Right.
And let's just remember, you know, you can only have explosive growth for so long when you're bringing, oh my God, they've got cappuccino in Buck Crack, Kansas. You can only grow for so long, and I think the downturn was expected. There's nothing wrong with their product. It's just they've over the markets. There's nowhere else for them to go. I mean, you notice that Starbucks are not only on every corner. They're on every half block.
They're in my Safeway store. And no offense, I love Safeway. I really do. But they have a Starbucks right there, right in front of you.
I absolutely agree, and I don't think it's. I think you touched on a really important point when extra income goes away, that this is one of the first things to go is a $5 cup of coffee.
Well, here's the thing. Look at the typical Starbucks customer. We're really hip young people like to go there and read their books and sit there with their laptops and the big foo-foo sofas that they have in there. Well, these kids, you know, they don't have that expendable income anymore. There's a lot of families that are trying to save their house right now, so there's a little less going around for these kids.
Right, I think it's coming down to people would rather do what your last caller said and go to 7-Eleven, go to D&D, get a decent cup of coffee. And by the way, I mean, somebody should tell Starbucks that not everything has to be taste like it's burnt French roast coffee, and that we can actually spend $1.50, $2 on a cup of coffee and get a good cup of coffee.
Sure.
And not have to deal with this whatever nonsense they have, like you said, from going to order. Now you've got to go see the barista. Are we calling? Are we not calling?
Yeah.
Today a call? I didn't know if today was a calling day or not. So I'm with you, bro. I hope you have a great night.
And I don't need to buy Kenny Rogers' greatest hits while I'm waiting in line either. So.
All right, buddy. Have a great night. Good
Thanks show. A lot, Brian. Hey, Irvin, it's my original listener.
Joe.
How are you down to 540?
Yeah.
Right on.
Hey, you know, about the Starbucks, you know, I really think Starbucks was created by someone years ago to come up with a way to get on the stock market to make money.
Well.
Waiting for recessions and bad times. You know, a lot of things are in that direction, believe it or not, because like you're talking about a $5 cup of coffee. Isn't that...
Hey, turn down your radio. I can hear your radio in there.
Isn't that just a little bit expensive even 2 years ago for a cup of coffee?
When you have oak paneled walls and leather couches, you know, you got a high overhead.
Right.
Which is a lot to pin on a cup of coffee.
Well, you got that right.
Now, when times are good and people are feeling good about themselves, certainly, you know, even let's take the 20-somethings, you know, and we're way past the Friends era and the Seinfeld era, but let's take 20-somethings that got their first job, they're out of college, they probably live somewhere renting, not actually buying a house, but they're commuting to work. And so now they're in a grind where they got to put the money in their gas tanks to get to work, to earn some dough, to put in their gas tanks to go to work, to earn
right.
some dough. So, you know, obviously these things fall by the wayside. It's an expense.
It all adds up.
Right.
It is what it comes down to. But, you know, when times get hard, things get even harder. So you have to make cuts and breaks and everything. But, yeah, about the interviews that you had, you know, I would that is so weird. It was just like I was saying last week, what religion and politics creates.
It's funny how many parallels there are.
Well, if you think about it, everything is just about religion and politics. What else is there?
There's pro football.
Well, yeah, but if it wasn't for some religion or a politics to have it to be brought out to where it was accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it really, it seems like that's what it's all about in religion. Well, you know, your guest, I would have loved to know what her religious preference was as far as with her ideas in, you know.
You know, that's a good point. I'll shoot her an email and ask her that, and I'll get back to you on that next week.
Right.
Because I would suggest that she... Well, I mean, she's obviously a pagan. She should be burned at the stake. But I would suggest with the knowledge that she has about all these various things, she sees the parallels.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's a great question. I'd like to know what...
Well, she had to get her education somewhere. And, you know, all schools have some sort of backing in some direction, just like political values and religious
sure.
values, just like I'm saying with the two things. Well... You know, to have a broad spectrum and to go back as far as she was going back into mythology, well, you know, that's as far as you can really go.
Well, she's going back to Sumeria, which is basically the
right,
beginning,
you know,
of civilization.
People think that Rome was where the center, everything started. Well, as far as recorded knowledge, we don't even know what was in China or even Greece.
Because the Romans burned all the libraries.
Even Greece. You know, Greece goes
Where the
back.
Greeks did. I don't know. That could be an errant statement. Because I don't always know what I'm talking about. I'll be the first to admit.
Right. But, you know, because your writings, the Greek go back even farther. And their knowledge on things was right there where Rome was, and but they were way before Rome. So
it goes on and on, doesn't it, Irvin?
It's a political religious world is what it is, and that's why it's so hard to please so many people in this country, because you have so many diversities.
Well, there you go.
It's all in what Abraham Lincoln, you know, said, that you can please some of the people some of the time, but you're never going to please all the people all the time. You just can't do it. And I look at it this way. For the people that are in this country, if you go to another country, you're supposed to abide by their laws, aren't you? Well, this country needs to take about 9/10 of the laws that are on the books and wipe them out and just have one set of laws for everyone instead of select groups.
Well put. Thanks for the call, Irvin.
Okay, man.
We'll
have a great show.
David.
Hey, how are you, Joe?
What's happening?
Hey, I just want to make a comment about Starbucks and things like that. I mean, they've done one thing. They've increased the, let's say, the taste of coffee. It used to be, like you said, thick, syrupy stuff that
yeah.
you add sugar and cream to, right?
Right.
So they've upped the level of taste, which is great because there are, the 7-Eleven's come up, McDonald's has come up. It's really good coffee nowadays.
Sure.
And I'd like to challenge our listeners. You want to talk about disposable income. If you go to those other places for cheaper coffee.
Sure.
Take that money, put it in your bank account, and watch it grow.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to pile on, say Starbucks sucks. And they've really just come along and saturated their market. So
they've overextended, obviously.
So with that in mind, you know, it's deserving. But give them props on taste.
All right. Thanks, David.
Later.
See ya. Mike and Sterling.
Hey, how you doing today?
What can I do for you?
Oh, look, I like your show, man.
Thanks.
I started listening, and I'm like, wow, your show is great. Very interesting. And that lady about the Easter Bunny and things that I never knew about.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I just was telling you about the economy here. I mean,
right.
I was a big, I worked for a big builder in Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And went from having a very nice house of my own, wife, you know, vehicles, et cetera.
Right.
And a very good salary with benefits to zero in a day. You know, all the new homes just went kaput. You know, luckily I'd sold my house just in the nick of time.
Now, when did you sell your house? In 05, at the end of 05 or in the beginning of 06?
It was August of 06.
Okay, so you just got out.
Yeah.
Because I had a neighbor who sold in December of 05, moved out of his house on Christmas Day, and he got max money for his townhouse, and they never, ever got back to that. But go ahead.
Well, you know, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I ended up having to take a job. Okay, you know, I've got an excellent resume, great background, a lot of computer experience, a lot of building experience. I've been doing it all my life. I designed, I engineered, and I physically built my own house, 7,682 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I ended up selling. I made good money off of it. But, you know, here I had a great job and all, and then all of a sudden, phew, kaput to practically nothing. I need to move my truck real quick. To practically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up, I went down to Louisiana for a little while and worked with Habitat for Humanity.
Oh.
And built an area up called Musicians. And put a whole bunch of people into homes, and it was going to start my own business down there, but it's still crazy. I mean, military police is still out and about doing their thing. I mean, you go.
Is that the actual MPs or is that the Blackwater Force down there?
No, they're kind of like a tannish Humvee, short version of a Humvee. It looks like, I don't know.
Right.
And military police, and
okay,
you cut across like I was staying in Violet in a school that had been underneath the water about 12 feet, right near the breaking of the levee.
Right,
and you cut from that highway, which I don't remember the name offhand, over to Perez. And you take any of those side roads, and you better just go. I mean, the people there are just literally murderous. They throw stuff at you. They want you to buy. They'll come up to your truck or car and try and sell you drugs and anything from their sister to whatever they have in their pocket. I mean, it's scary.
Is this because they've been abandoned since the flooding down there? Is it,
is this
just the way it is down there?
Well, you know what else they've done is that the government had given them a bunch of money to gut their house.
Right.
And they're leaving FEMA trailer parks where you can buy anything you want any time of day during there, too.
Right.
And I know this from some of the people that were working for us. And it's like, so anyhow, they're not gutting their houses. Instead, they're all running around in these nice new vehicles, and they're bitching and griping about the government not paying them enough money. And they're getting ready to be booted out of these homes, and now they don't really have a home to go to.
Right.
But, I mean, it's horrible down there. And I end up coming back, and I send my resume out, and there'll be 50 other people just exactly like me, you know, that have the same kind of background. So if they even get to my resume, I'm just a lucky dog.
Right.
You know, and then commercial, of course. I mean, I don't have a lot of commercial experience, but you're building a house. You're digging a hole. You're pouring footers. You're putting a roof on, and you're doing everything that goes inside. It's the same thing as commercial, but they won't give you the break. So I end up
flipping burgers.
No, no kidding.
I sure did. I worked at, a restaurant. I won't say the name, but I worked at a restaurant, and which was full of Latinas. And I married one, so I'm not, like, prejudiced against them or anything.
Right.
But a lot of them were illegals, and I knew this for a fact. Because
well, that's the let's just stop there. That's the important part. You just say illegals. It doesn't really matter if they're Latino or they could be if India. They could be from India. They could be from. There's a lot of illegals in the mining towns now that are out of northern. I want to say the old. Never mind. Northern Europe, like the old communist republics out there. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, it's just that,
just say illegals. We know what we're saying there.
Well, I took this job, and they're paying me like $9.50 an hour because they can get these other people for a whole lot less.
Oh, of course.
So you know, luckily here recently I got another job, so I'm feeling a little bit better. But I mean, it's hard. You go to a place in Herndon, Virginia. They have a little store there, 7-Eleven. And there's an INS personnel in there.
Yeah.
And I go by there every day, almost every day, and I see, 50 plus, if not more, people outside, you know,
sure.
for work. And an INS worker inside flirting with the lady behind the counter.
Hmm.
And this is what our money goes to.
Sure.
I don't agree to that one bit.
It's the same in Annandale. I lived in Annandale in the 90s, most of the 90s. And beautiful, for those of you listening that don't know where Annandale is, it's right inside the Beltway here in D.C. in Fairfax County, and it's a nice little township. And now every day up and down 236 is all workers looking for work, and they pester you. You know, when I'm out doing pressure washing jobs, which is my other business, in America you have three jobs, but as soon as they see that pressure washer in the back of my truck, they are all over me.
Oh, they are, aren't they?
For a job. Yeah, and it's annoying.
Home Depot there in Arlington, the other side of town there in Arlington off of Glebe and all.
Right.
You pull into there in the mornings. I have to go there a lot. And they're all hanging out in there ready to load your truck up for you, which is a nice idea, but Home Depot's supposed to do that. But
yeah.
You're looking for – I'm in a truck, a pickup truck, and it's a nice one. But, you know, you can tell I work construction, and I get pestered by them left and right. But, I mean, I just – I wish there was a way – now, I, like I said, I married a Latina woman, very wonderful lady. She's legal and all, and I love her to death. But they just, knowing my wife for as long as I have, they have a lot of weird, different ideas, but I just wish there was something we could do about all this. I mean, I wouldn't have the slightest clue what to do, but, I mean...
Yeah, I wouldn't either, and I don't really... Here's the thing. In a sense, I don't really want to round them up and jail them and send them back. But in the other sense, I want them to assimilate like every other immigrant that's come to our country. Follow the rules. And all this time that we're talking about it down on Capitol Hill, these people could be going and filling out the papers and getting in line and getting it done.
They need to learn English. Wasn't that one of our criteria when our immigrants came, when our ancestors came across? Didn't they have to learn English?
I think so.
I think so, too.
But, you know, nowadays, that's you're imposing your will. That's politically incorrect. You're not showing tolerance for their culture.
Well,
bad Mike.
Are they showing it for ours?
I don't know, man. It is a messy situation, and there's no easy answer. But we've got to do something because we're not really doing anything, are we? Our politicians aren't.
No, I don't think we are. I mean, anytime you have, seriously... A man in uniform there who's supposed to maintain. There's a sign right there. It says in Spanish, no loitering, as well as in English.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, okay, I do a lot of motorcycling, okay, and I have a bunch of my buddies who all ride hogs. You wouldn't recognize us on a weekend when we're riding because we look like, you know, bikers.
Right.
You get my buddies out there, even five of us, say five of us, hanging out at 7-Eleven at whatever hours. For a couple hours, we will be booted out of there by the police.
Sure,
I guarantee. I was never allowed to hang at 7-Eleven, not just because of my parents, but because of the police. When I was, you know, when I did hang out, anyhow, they always chased us away. But now it's okay. No loitering and whatever it says in Spanish, I should know. But and yet they're there. I mean, come on, what's the deal? And then INS is sitting right inside of there, talking to the lady behind the counter. It is. So it just amazes me. I'm like, wow, that just blows my mind.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, I wish I had the answers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, how many days a week are you on and what time?
Well, I'm only on Saturday nights from 9 to 11.
All right.
But I've got if you go to WJFK.com, you can get podcasts from all the shows and all that good stuff. And if you are on MySpace, all the kids are doing it. You can check me out at Joe Radio 106.7 on MySpace.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I will be checking out, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck with your pressure washing, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a recession. It can only go up. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.
So that's Mike. You know, listen, you know, there's a lot of resentment built up towards Latinos and illegal immigrants. But honestly, I was out at a club, not really a club, a restaurant a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I were. And she was hanging out with her brother, my brother-in-law, and their friends. And I had just gotten off of work. It was a Friday night. So I came in and I ordered some dinner. So I'm sitting at the bar eating dinner. And I got in a conversation with a couple of Latino guys. Young guys, probably 22, 23, I think they were. And I noticed, well, I got into a very good conversation about the immigration thing with them. And they wanted to make it clear that they were legal. You know, they were not illegals. And I told him, I said, I really could care less. I mean, what am I going to do about it? And he goes, but you see, there's a perception that we're all illegals, and there's a negative perception about illegals in the country right now. And I said, well, you know, you got a point there. But I found, you know, the more I think about the illegal immigrant situation, I don't have any answers for you. I'd like to be a reactionist and say, throw them all out. I'd also like to say, no, let them all stay. And I don't think either answer is the right answer. Maybe somehow we got to get them assimilated, you know, get them speaking. The direction we need to go is not having bilingual elementary schools. Now, I mean, if they come to the country, they should learn the language. If I were going to move to Mexico, I'd make sure that I at least had a rudimentary grip of Spanish just so I could survive. So, you know, and it's tough when you see them lined up on the streets. It doesn't look good. You know, they're killing the grass in the median strips. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. You can give me a call, 800-636-1067. Hey, DJ, producer DJ, I need your help in here for a second. We're going to take a quick break here, but before I do, I got no computers in here. I don't know what happened here. I want to take a break, but, like...
Okay, I'll switch up.
I'll keep talking. Yeah, I got all these blank screens in here. I should have hipped them to it sooner. But listen, when we come back, I want to put this forth to you. 800-636-1067. Friday morning, early Friday morning in Daytona Beach Shores down in Florida. Again, Florida. Spring break. It's spring break time. So, three kids. I want to say kids, but they're not. They're 21 years old, so they're men.
Joe Radio!
They lit off a partial stick of dynamite, also known to you and I as an M80 and or an ash can. An ash can is a really nice piece of explosive, but both illegal. And they blew out a couple of windows in some rooms in a hotel. And they are now charged with a felony. What I want to propose to you, my fellow Joe Americans, is, and this is going to be an interesting debate. Could something like that, lighting off a bomb, essentially, in a public area and causing property damage, luckily not killing anybody, could that be construed as an act of terrorism? Now, I know what you're going to first say is you're going to say, well, it wasn't intended to be one, so it's not. But I'm not so sure anymore in our country if we have the luxury of saying, hey, it was a prank, a stupid one. And, or you know, saying it was a prank and letting it be like that, or if we've passed laws in the Patriot Act that would deem it an act of terrorism. So, you mull that over. Call me back at 800-636-1067, and I'll come back with the story and my thoughts on it, and we'll take it from there. Joe Radio, 106.7 WJFK. We'll be right back.